According to Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. And again Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few chosen.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, anyone like to dress up for special events, go out to various parties? And what's the question? When you know you're going someplace special, what to wear? Our Savior Jesus tells us a parable today about a king who wanted to throw a party for his son, a wedding celebration. And it's strange to hear how many people don't want to go. They don't want a party. They don't want to be a part of it. And it's quite drastic what the king does. He burns their cities, he slaughters them, he goes out and invites more, and then there's a guy who shows up with the wrong kind of garments. He's not following the dress code. He's thrown out, bound up and thrown where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow, you don't want to miss that party, but you want to make sure you have the right things on. Well, in Christ, we are dressed to party, which is the title of our meditation today. So let's think a little bit about this story. What's leading up to this? Well, it's pretty powerful. In the context of this portion of Matthew's gospel, Jesus has entered into Jerusalem with the shouts of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He comes to the temple and he is filled with righteous anger. And so he throws everybody out of the temple. Then he's challenged by, "What authority are you doing these things?" And it's just sad to see how the institutional church in Jesus' day was so hell-bent to get rid of him. I mean, to think that God in flesh and blood has come to his people, those who were long looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, only to miss his arrival. And then Jesus tells the parable of the vineyard and how the vineyard will be taken away and given to others. And then he tells the story of a wedding feast. If there are images in the Old Testament that God likes to use to give us a picture of what his church is like, it's those two things, the vineyard picture and also the wedding feast, where Christ would be united to his bride, the church. So what's going on with this language of not being dressed or not being prepared? Well, there's a lot of picture language given in God's word with regard to what we are supposed to put on and put off. Paul loves to use that language, and he does it. For instance, he says in Colossians chapter 3, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." So not only is it about getting dressed so that we're not thrown out of the party, but it's also making sure we're not wearing certain things. Paul tells us to put off yelling and fits of rage and lying to each other and anger and foolish talk and envy and jealousness, jealousy and selfishness and, coarse joking and greed and bitter feelings. Put these things off. Boy, they almost want to cling to us, these things. We're good at wearing these kinds of things. We live in a culture where everyone has this kind of stuff on. And yet, Paul says, put them off. Don't be dressed in those ways. In the whole process of confession and absolution, that very important place in the divine service where we stop and we listen to the Holy Spirit as he helps us evaluate our thoughts, our words, our actions. You know, this is in a way a chance for us to put off these things, to receive this spiritual shower of God's love and grace that cleanses us from these things. I mean, who wants to wear those kinds of filthy garments anyway? While we look at a world around us where plenty do and take pride in such garments, as believers, you and I want to be rid of those things. We know how wearing those things can hurt marriage and parenting and grandparenting and friendships, the life of a congregation. Wearing these kinds of filthy rags just foul up our lives and make it hard to live in hope, peace, joy, and love. And it's interesting, the word absolution means covering, to be covered. And so we confess or we expose these rags that we can wear so easily, these things that Paul says, put off from ourselves. He calls such wardrobe the old man. Women wear the old man too, the carnal man, the sinful nature that is a part of our lives. And Paul would say, no longer walk in these things, but to walk in the newness of life. So this idea of being dressed appropriately for the party, really, in a sense, for all occasions, is very much at the core and heart of who and what we are as Christians. You know, getting dressed and being ready to party in such a way that we don't get thrown out of the party, as we hear in the parable that Jesus tells today. To this place in Matthew's gospel, it is heating up, this epic conflict between religious people who pride themselves in how they've been able to dress themselves and the one who comes who will provide what's necessary for us to wear. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, when they had taken from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, found themselves exposed. They were filled with shame. If you want to understand where all low self-esteem comes from, where we find ourselves critical of ourselves, it goes all the way back to the garden when we were exposed to things we could not handle, and then we tried to hide. How many ways do we try to cover ourselves up? And what God would have us do is to actually expose ourselves to him. Lord, this is how I'm thinking. This is how I'm feeling. I'm a mess. I see my pride. I see my greed. I see my lust. I see my fear. I see my shame. I see my helplessness. And exposing ourselves, revealing what's going on inside our hearts and minds, isn't to make God feel better. It's to help us to understand how much we need for him to say, that's okay. I sent my son. and I will clothe you with my love through him for you. Do you like to wear the same things over and over and over again? I'm famous in my home for wearing the wrong kind of stuff, or the stuff that I shouldn't wear when I'm working on something versus the stuff I shouldn't wear when I should be wearing something nicer. Certainly, we need to be dressed appropriately, but it's not about this. It's about what's going on in here. It's how I process my thoughts and my feelings. What to wear with those things. And I realize we're so physically bound and tied to thinking physicalness and how we dress our bodies, but it's really about how we dress our thoughts and our words and our actions, how we process the things that happen to us, what we choose to wear in those occasions. Oh, when do I need to put on kindness? When do I need to put on self-control? Paul says it this way, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Oh, do I have to wear that? Well, that's what the Lord would have us wear. I mean, wearing our emotions on our sleeves and wearing our pride for others to see may have some payoff, but in truth, those things are kind of tight and ill-fitting. Amen? Amen? Putting on kindness, putting on self-control, putting on humility and long-suffering. Aren't those the kind of garments that we need to wear to help the people around us that are fumbling and failing and falling just like we do? When you think about some of the people in your life that have helped you and cared for you, aren't you glad they wore those kinds of things coming to your aid? And yet, let us all repent and realize how we're just good at wearing the wrong stuff. Let us also rejoice in that God knows how to dress us. Gosh, it was so cool when my kids got to those ages when they could get dressed. And, you know, I didn't even hardly care what they wore. I was just glad they picked it out and put it on. Certainly there's some coaching that needs to be done. But, you know, God has really pulled out the wardrobe stops for us. In Isaiah, we hear this. This is Isaiah 61. It's 61 verse 10. Get back to it here in my Bible. Isaiah 61 verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So, wedding garments, the garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness, these are the things that God has dressed us in. This is how we look to him. There's a song I've sung a few times to you. I've sung it for years. I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and he lives in me. Oh, what a joy it is to know my heavenly Father loves me so. He gives to me my Jesus. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be. He sees Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many of you who have been baptized have been clothed with Christ. We wear Christ. When we look at ourselves, we see a mess. But when God looks at us, he sees his Son and how we've been robed in Christ. He is our righteousness. He is the garment of our salvation. And as we put our trust in him, as we trust in him, we are dressed for all occasions. As we trust in His love and His forgiveness, we can trust that He empowers us to wear the things we need to wear for the occasions we come upon, and knowing that we are dressed for all occasions, and that we will be accepted in God's wedding banquet. You know, even when we take communion, we are participating in a foretaste of the feast to come. And in Christ, we're dressed for all occasions. You know, the things pastors wear and acolytes, the robe, it's just a symbol. It's just a symbol. It's intended to point to the substance of who and what we really are. It's kind of interesting. When I first became a pastor, it was strange to hear. It was strange to hear kids say, "Pastor, why do you wear a dress?" You know, I'd think to myself, "It's not a dress; it's a robe." Well, it kind of looks like a dress, not a very fancy one, but so. Stace Rolofson, a sinner. Robed in righteousness. And this is the illustration. This is like the illustration to remind us that through faith in Christ, we look wonderful to God. We're clothed in His Son. We wear His robes of righteousness. You know, the pastors wear a stole, reminding us that Christ has promised to give us rest, and that the yoke that He gives us is light as we learn from Him. You know, there's a lot of learning to be done. Even when it comes to our spiritual wardrobes, we can learn more what it means to be dressed in, with kindness or helpfulness, what it means to wear long-suffering, being patient, understanding that in the cross of Christ and what Christ has done for us through His Son, where Jesus died on the cross, we are empowered to work with this new wardrobe that doesn't feel so awkward or ill-fitting, and makes the things that we, by our sinful nature, our old man, our old Adam, sometimes wants us to wear. And you know, what a gift it is in absolution to be covered. When Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," that absolution continues to be spoken as we hear about Jesus dying on the cross, as we hear the good news of God's love, understanding that in absolution literally means to be covered, knowing that we are covered in the blood of Christ, and that we wear the robes of righteousness, where we are learning what it means to put off this old wardrobe and to wear the new wardrobe, knowing that in Christ we're dressed to party. Party. It's interesting to think how God would have us understand our relationship with Him as a feast of victory, a place where we celebrate with joy. Maybe you gather with your brothers and sisters in Christ here today, feeling a little ill-fitted with what you're wearing. God loves you, and His forgiveness is showering over you in God's grace and through His Son. And may that encourage you to trust in the Lord and to know that what you have in Christ is a glorious wardrobe that you can learn more about and practice in different ways and to wear daily. You know, it's interesting how Paul really presses the idea when he in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about wearing the armor of God. How important it is for Christians to make a mental note, not only to be physically dressed, but to be spiritually dressed. You know, we're living in a time where there's a lot of pressure, where we're coming out of the COVID pandemic and everything is different and it's strange and it doesn't seem the same. even more the reason for us to understand how we can put on these wonderful things, these gifts that are identifying us in Christ and helping us understand that we are the elect of God, holy and beloved, and that we can put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, that we can bear with one another and forgive one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, the bond of love. Why do we need to be putting on Christ? Because it's in Christ that we are dressed for all occasions. In Christ, we are dressed to party. Party on, dudes and dudettes, in the name of Jesus, trusting in Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.